This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Tuesday, November 9th. Good morning and welcome to Morning Air on the Feast of the Dedication of the Lateran Basilica in Rome. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Good to be with you this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm still overflowing in gratitude. I'm so grateful for the incredible pledge drive that we had last week. I still can't get over it. The numbers as of the last report, are just a little over $3,425,000 from 14,722 donations from our Relevant Radio family. Just unbelievable support. In case you missed last week's pledge drive, for whatever reason, you can still join the family. You can make a tax-deductible donation by calling 877-291-0123, or you can give online at relevantradio.com or make a pledge through the Relevant Radio app. So it's still not too late to join the family. I also want to remind you something I try to do on Tuesdays, that we really should pray to our guardian angels. Tuesday's a traditional day to pray to the guardian angels and to ask them for help. Today's feast of the dedication of the Basilica of St. John Lateran is being celebrated by the entire Catholic Church all around the world. It marks the dedication of the Cathedral Church of Rome by Pope Sylvester I back in 324, so this goes way back. This church is the cathedra, or the chair, of the Bishop of Rome, who is the Pope, the Holy Father. There's a Latin inscription in the Church of St. John Lateran that reads, Omnium Ecclesiam Urbis et Orbis Mater et Caput, which means the mother and head of all churches of the city of the world. I've had the blessing, the absolute blessing of being able to visit this incredibly beautiful church on several occasions during different trips to Rome, including during our honeymoon. It's one of the four great basilicas of Rome, along with St. Peter's Basilica, St. Mary Major, and St. Paul outside the walls in the Eternal City. As always, we start every hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings and through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture, as per the usual from the playbook of life, is from John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus the Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. The question for all of us is, do you believe these words of our Lord Jesus Christ? This verse is essentially an affirmative statement of the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope in the resurrection and in eternal life depends totally, entirely on the resurrection and redemption of Christ. Through his death and resurrection, we, the faithful, will rise from the dead and enter eternal life. This is our faith. This is our hope. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, I want to switch gears and talk about preparing for retirement, something that is on the mind of many Americans these days. Surely retirement may seem like a long way off for some of us or just around the corner for others. Regardless of how close or how far away you are from retirement, the time should be now to just take small steps, even tiny steps that could make a big difference as you approach retirement. Listen to my recent conversation with CPA and personal finance expert Howard Dvorkin, the chairman of Debt.com, who spoke to me about how to prepare for retirement.
At Debt.com, we're seeing a lot of people, number one, because of the pandemic, retiring early. A lot of people have been laid off. And frankly, they got used to working at working at home or being at home, and they're kind of like, we're closer to the end of our career than the beginning, so we're probably not going back. So we're seeing a lot of earlier retirements. My concern is, and those concerns at Debt.com are, can they afford to retire early? A lot of people don't plan out the retirement, and more so than I have ever seen in the past, people are retiring with debt, meaning credit card debt or other forms of debt. Usually, you know, I'm going back maybe 20, 30 years ago, people would make a concerted effort to pay off their credit cards, even pay off their mortgage, pay off their cars. That way they wouldn't have the burden of extra expenses. These days, people are going into debt, going into retirement carrying debt. Maybe they still have a mortgage payment. Maybe they still have credit card payments and so on. So that adds another intricacy and frankly, a challenge during retirement, because when you retire, you know, some people have put away money, some people have not. And if you're thinking that Social Security is going to cover your expenses during retirement, think again. That's not going to happen. At Debt.com, we have seen this time and time again. People just simply don't plan out their retirement careful enough.
Howard, did you find most Americans saying that they need to continue to work through their retirement days just to stay afloat, just to keep going?
You know, they work because they have to, not typically because they want to. Now, in my observation, I've always seen it that it is a good thing for people to retire. Retire, but keep active a little bit to keep the brain going. And frankly, that tends, you know, with that activity, they don't tend to age as quickly. In fact, yesterday I saw a retired police officer I know driving a boat for the local police force down here, and he was patrolling, and it's a pretty good gig. You know, he's out there in the sun and people are waving, smiling at him. But at the end of the day, I think it makes sense for people to at least do some part-time work. Just because you're older doesn't mean you're finished. So I think it's very important that people keep their mind active and physical activity as well. And it also helps with the bills.
There was a time when people used to think of retirement age as 65, but I think that a lot of folks are staying on longer than that and working longer than 65. And in fact, it's like the whole system was based around that, especially with Social Security. But I don't think that that's realistic in this day and age.
Well, Social Security was bumped up as well. So full Social Security, I think 68, if I'm not mistaken. However, 65 was the time. But then again, that was, you know, years, decades ago. And frankly, the life expectancy of Americans has increased every year, and we're living longer. And so I think that people thinking that they're going to retire at 65 is probably making a big mistake, because they have at least 20 years of retirement ahead of them if they did retire at 65. And frankly, that's if you're not earning money, that is a lot of money to put away. The problem that I see and that we see at Debt.com is people don't plan for the retirement, and even they don't even take advantage of retirement plans, meaning if they're working for a company that offers a 401k, which is a retirement plan where you put your money in, you get some tax breaks, or you have Roth IRA, Roth 401, where you don't get the immediate tax breaks, but you get to pull the money out tax-free at the end. There's some great opportunities, and there's also employer matches if you put in for the first 6% of the money you put in, or 10%, the employer will pay half. Everybody's another 5% or 3%. Every employer is different how they handle that, but people don't take advantage of this, and I just roll my eyes. I mean, you're basically giving up a raise when you don't take advantage of employer-sponsored retirement plans. There's also IRAs, which are individual retirement accounts, which allow people to put away money in a retirement, a tax-deferred account, or possibly a tax-free account if it's a Roth IRA. And those both plans are very good. However, it limits the amount of money you're able to put away. So the best place you should go to is start with your employer, put away as much money as you can. And if you're closer to retirement and you haven't started a retirement plan, certainly go through and put away an extra amount so that you could try to catch up. And people 50 years and older are able to put away a little extra something. Simply, the government wants to make sure that you have a fair amount to retire on, so they let you put away even more if you're old like me. So my suggestion is put away as much as you can, even, and start early. I will tell you the biggest problem I see is that people don't start early enough. If you come out of college, you start saving immediately, as long as they offer you a 401k or some type of retirement plan, you take advantage of that right from the start. You'll thank me in about 30 years.
Absolutely. In fact, if you have a question or comment on how to prepare for retirement, or you're looking for some advice from Howard Dvorkin, the chairman of Debt.com, give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Would you say that probably the one thing that people just fail to do is to make a financial plan? Whether they're young, whether they're older, people just don't take the time to sit down and strategize exactly what am I going to need? How am I going to get there? Can you talk about the importance of just basic planning?
Well, people don't like to do it because it's not fun. It's much easier to flip on the TV and watch a sports game or some kind of mini series. I mean, the fact of the matter is sitting down and doing financial calculations is not an exciting activity, and they try to avoid it at all costs. The problem is the old adage, those who fail to plan, plan to fail, is very prevalent in this conversation. And the reason being is you got to know where you are so you can plot where you're going. And if you try to retire at any age, you're going to have bills, you have expenses, you have to know what you're looking at, and you also have to know what your savings looks like. Right now, retirement, you know, was based on somewhat of a fallacy. You know, put away money in the bank, and at the end, when you're ready to retire, that money's going to pay for your retirement. Well, that's not the case. because interest rates have gone down so low. I mean, you're lucky to make a 0.5% interest while inflation right now is 2 and 3%. So you're actually losing money when you put money into the bank. And because of the cost of living is higher than what you can earn. And that is screwing up a lot of people's retirement. So you need a tremendous amount, maybe 3-4 times what you needed if you were going to take a conservative retirement investment plan. So you need to make sure that you go through and put away as much money as possible and cut your expenses as much as possible and get rid of debt. If I could make one recommendation, and we see it all the time, that people come to debt.com that are in retirement carrying credit card balances. It used to be, you know, that depression era mentality of the retiree. Oh, I'm not carrying credit cards. You know, I saw the depression. My grandmother told me about the depression, or my parents told me how terrible it was. Debt's a bad thing. Well, now people are using their credit cards because they simply can't afford to pay for their bills without using their credit cards. And if you could get rid of your debt, we see it at debt.com all the time. If you could get rid of your debt, you're going to be far above. You're going to win the game. So you don't go into retirement with carrying credit card debt. Try to pay off your mortgage. Look at other forms of getting money out of your house, possibly a reverse mortgage. That's always a nice idea, but that's towards the later part of your life. But be careful. Be careful. Do your homework. Investigate everything, every financial decision you make. Make sure you spend the time and investigate. But people do not take the time to figure out how much they need during retirement, what their expenses are. And there's activities that you can do that don't cost a lot of money. A lot of people say, oh, I'm going to travel during my retirement. Well, traveling, A, how much can you possibly travel? I mean, I'm tired after a week. So you're going to travel a month, 2 months? That's, that gets to be expensive. There's activities, you know, such as watching your grandkids or maybe volunteer work. Just keep active during retirement, and hopefully it doesn't cost a lot.
We're joined by Howard Dvorkin, the chairman of Debt.com, talking about how to prepare for retirement. There's been a lot of articles and stories at Debt.com about this very subject. In fact, I ran across one day that had over 30 different experts that gave a lot of different advice. What has been some of the advice that stands out in your mind from the so-called financial experts to make sure that people are prepared?
You know, I think the best advice is start early. Start preparing for your retirement early. People start too late, and it's just too late. I have an associate that I know, and he came to me, and he and his wife, you know, they raised two beautiful kids. They lived a very nice life. They were members of a country club, but they had no retirement, and they're in their 50s. And they came to me, and I had to talk to them, and they had to put away, you know, tremendous amounts of money for the last 15 years of their working. And that was probably one of the tougher cases, because they had a big lifestyle, and they had to put away 25 to 30% of the money that they're making every year after tax. And you have to understand that people need a tremendous amount of money to retire on, and it don't expect Social Security to cover your expenses.
Howard, for people that are in their 50s that are listening to our conversation, one final piece of advice that perhaps it's better late than never. At least they can try to do something down the stretch.
Absolutely. I mean, no matter what your age is, start putting away things. Take advantage of your employer retirement plans. Also, there's certain breaks that the government gives you with a deductible IRA or a deductible or a Roth IRA or a non-deductible, whatever the case may be. Start putting as much money as you possibly can away. And if it causes a little pain, skip dinner out once a week. I don't care. You got to prepare. If you're thinking of retirement, you got to prepare early. You got to be committed to it. And frankly, work as long as you possibly can. I know that sounds not so much fun, but work as possible as much as you possibly can, because frankly, you have the rest of your life to sit there and watch the grass grow. So enjoy your retirement, and hopefully you take some of this advice. And if you have debt, go to debt.com, and we'll definitely try to get you out of trouble.
As always, thanks so much for your perspective and insights. This is a very relevant topic for so many Americans. Howard, appreciate your time.
Thanks so much for having me again.
And that was Howard Dvorkin, the chairman of Debt.com. You can go to Debt.com for much more. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. It's Tech Tuesday. Our tech expert, Mark Mastriani, will be with us to talk about Facebook entering Metaverse. Stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues after this.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
28 minutes after the hour, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for tuning in. Always great to be with you here early in the morning. And again, in case you haven't heard my comments over the last couple of days, I just want to say thank you. Thank you once again for the incredible, historic Join the Family Pledge Drive, the unbelievable response of you, our Relevant Radio listeners. I can't say it enough. Thank you so much. Thank you for allowing us to continue to bring Christ to the world through the media, which is what we do. We do this every single day. And now, thanks to all your incredible support, we can continue to do this with a tremendous feeling in our hearts here for the next 3 months that you're totally with us. The latest totals for last week's pledge drive, way over our goal of 2.7 million, which was our goal for the week. We went 3,425,000 plus from 14,722 donations from each and every one of you, our Relevant Radio family. Just incredible numbers. For whatever reason, if you weren't able to pledge last week, you were tied up, you were on vacation, whatever reason, you can still join the family. You can still support what we do here by making a tax-deductible donation or calling 877-291-0123. You can make that donation online at relevantradio.com, or you can make a pledge through the Relevant Radio app. Again, our number, if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149, because it's once again time for Tech Tuesday. And I'm really looking forward to this discussion about Facebook. You probably have heard by now, recently Facebook is changing its name to Meta. We're talking about the big social media platform that owns Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, and has over 3 billion, that's billion with a B, people worldwide using its products. Here's Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg.
I am proud to announce that starting today, our company is now Meta. Our mission remains the same. It's still about bringing people together. Our apps and their brands, they're not changing either. And we are still the company that designs technology around people. We're going to talk about the metaverse, starting with the most important experience of all, connecting with people. Imagine you put on your glasses or headset and you're instantly in your home space. It has parts of your physical home recreated virtually. It has things that are only possible virtually. And it has an incredibly inspiring view of whatever you find most beautiful.
And so, of course, the question is, what is the metaverse and why exactly has Facebook rebranded itself? There's still a lot of questions about trust in this brand. There has been a lot of bad press over the last 6 months to a year. Now joining us is our tech expert and longtime Morning Air contributor, Mark Mastriani, to talk about Facebook's rebranding. Mark is a passionate Catholic dad, husband with 20 plus years of technology, new product and development experience. For all things faith and tech, you can follow Mark on his new Twitter account at God Loves Tech. That's God Loves Tech. Good morning, Mark. Thank you so much for being with us. It's always great to be with you on Tech Tuesday.
Thank you so much, John. I just wanted to let our audience know I've been not only a contributor here through Tech Tuesday for many years, but my family and I have been material contributors over the last 13 years. I'm so excited about what this apostolate does and what we'll continue to do through the help of our listeners. Thank you, listeners, for everything you did last week.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Mark. Your contributions have been so much appreciated over the years. And not only are you a regular contributor, but you're also one of our donors. So I appreciate it very, very much. Let's talk a little bit about Facebook. It's been in the news here in the last 10 days or so since the big announcement. What do you think is the real reason for Facebook changing their name?
Oh, it's a branding play. Right, the name Facebook right now has a negative connotation, and there's a need to pivot. This is a multi-billion-dollar company. They know that they are they've made mistakes. Their public-facing image is very much soiled and has had some dings. I also believe that this has been several years in the making. I think the timing is interesting, how within a week of the whistleblower testimonial on Capitol Hill and within days of a bad result to Wall Street, that this rollout occurred within days of that bad result. I do believe it was in the works for many years, because if you kind of rewind the clock, let's talk about, you know, about 5 years ago, Facebook bought Oculus. Oculus is an immersive, augmented reality headset company. They make hardware, right? So before Facebook ever had any hardware products that they were selling in order to facilitate video communications, Facebook bought Oculus. And back then, you could see the chess move at play. Now, it could have been highly speculative and very risky, but now they're putting all their backing behind that move. Okay? So let's look at the word that they chose. All right? The word Meta has so many interesting meanings. If you're a millennial, if you're a parent of a millennial, you may have heard this word in conversation. But it, as used as an adjective, I find this example very interesting. A movie about making movies is just so meta. Well, so is a social media company doubling down and investing in virtual reality. You want people to use your platform as much as possible throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the year. How do you do that? Okay? So even before the purchase of Oculus, 3D and augmented reality avatars and immersive virtual world games were a very big hit about 8 years ago with Second Life, if you recall that movement. It didn't have staying power, but it did have an impression on millions of individuals over the last 8 to 10 years. That you can, if you don't like your life in the real world, make a new one in a virtual world. Okay, and there's thousands of people who will meet you there and, you know, play along with you in your reinvention of yourself. Ready Player One is a movie about this kind of immersive world where the real world and a virtual world collide, if you will. The choices you make in these two worlds still matter. So I'm kind of laying a little bit of a groundwork here, but you could see how within this other world, this virtual world, Facebook would want to have as much of your time and attention as possible.
And then, Mark, a lot of this has to do with the bad publicity, the lack of trust. In fact, this has been brewing also for a number of years. In fact, I actually got kind of disillusioned with Facebook a few years back when I was promoting my pro-life documentary film, The 40 Film, and we saw a dramatic difference in posting, you know, pro-life posts on our Facebook page, as opposed to posting that my son, went 4-for-4 with a home run in a kid baseball game. And I mean, it was mind-boggling. We could see the bias towards things that were Christian, towards things that were pro-life, and anything that had to do with religious liberty. And so we I think that's been brewing from the user's perspective as well.
You are absolutely right, John, and you're pointing to something that is still challenging and problematic about Facebook, regardless of what you call them. Imagine, if you will, in this virtual world, that the makers of the virtual world, Meta, Horizons, all these immersive worlds that Facebook is backing, what will they encourage you to do? They will encourage you to stay in as long as possible, to game, to be entertained, to socially communicate and interact, but they will not encourage you to meet up with human beings in the real world and take off your headset, right? They will not encourage Eucharistic adoration. They're not going to encourage frequent use of the sacrament of confession. What's interesting is maybe we can. So what's interesting is they will also go try to co-opt things that are working well. So I've always been passionate here on Text Tuesdays to not back away from any new technologies that are becoming available. As a matter of fact, I think that we can do things in the virtual world that are uplifting and virtuous, such as providing pilgrimages to places that you might not be able to go physically or financially. What if we together, you and I, listeners of Tech Tuesday, let's go in here into the metaverse together and create a virtual pilgrimage and allow our faithful to see and experience things and places that they couldn't in the real world. I think there's a great opportunity, and we'll see. I'm not encouraged by their previous behavior that this will be encouraged, but if it's immersive, right, if people come to these kind of pilgrimages in Horizon is one of their lands that they're calling within the metaverse, maybe it could work. I'm also encouraged by the ability to interact. I'm a big college football fan, John. So one of the things that I've been talking about for several years with some of my college friends is what if we could sit next to each other watching a college football game from the comforts of our own couches? So wouldn't that be exciting that we could have social interactions around common interests without having to physically travel and make the physical and financial investment to go do that? So I think that there is a way to use this tool in a virtuous and uplifting way. I just be a caution. dip our toe in the water cautiously.
It reminds me, Mark, of when you buy baseball tickets these days on StubHub, you can actually go to a virtual view of where your seat is, and you can go 180, I believe 360 degrees all the way around, so you actually feel like you're in the ballpark. You can see what it would look like, where your seat is, who's behind you, who's in front of you, the view of the field. I guess that would be an example of this virtual technology.
Yeah, so when we were in the pandemic and you couldn't do a virtual walkthrough of a house, right, there were the realtor could take a immersive, high-resolution video tour of a space, and you can actually, certain listings still have the ability for you to do your own self-guided tour. All of those technologies could be stitched together and utilized. Imagine if you took kind of one of those 360-degree immersive video tours of the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris.
Fantastic.
I've never been to Paris. I'd love to go see it. Maybe before I go plan a trip, I'd love to actually see what it would look like in immersive three dimensions. And what if I had a pair of goggles, right, that made me actually step into the nave and look up at the rose window of the Cathedral of Notre Dame before my family and I plan a trip, and we can actually get each other excited about the prospects of going to see this real piece of physical art, an uplifting spiritual piece of architecture, before we actually go. So all of these technologies are there in pieces. I think there's an opportunity to stitch them together in an exciting and uplifting way.
Absolutely. And this is very exciting to just to think about the possibilities with some of these technologies. Well, we're going to continue to talk about Facebook. I have a whole bunch of more questions for you, Mark, about what this actually means, what it means for the platforms, for Instagram, for Snapchat, WhatsApp, what's going to change there. We need to take a short break. If you have a comment or question for our tech expert, Mark Mastriani, on Facebook or the new Meta, we have open lines. You can give us a call, 888-914-9149. Don't wait till the very end, though. That's 888-914-9149. Take a short break. Continue our conversation with Mark Mastriani. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
888-914-9149, 46 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us as we continue talking about Facebook and its new identity as Meta with Mark Mastriani, our tech expert. Mark, welcome back.
Hello, hello.
Mark, I would love to get your take on what this means for the Facebook apps, the Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and WhatsApp. What does this change mean now that it's being known corporately as Meta?
Yeah, I think what they're going to do here, John, is just use more of a Swiss Army knife approach. Think about when Google renamed their corporate umbrella to Alphabet, right? What did that change about Google, the search engine itself? Absolutely nothing.
Not much.
Right? All it did was acknowledge that there was a portfolio of products and services and platforms underneath one corporate umbrella. So I think at first glance, what I'd like to say about the Meta name is it's probably just the name of this Swiss Army knife of social media, right? Acknowledging that one of the blades in the Swiss Army knife is now a very significant investment, almost as big as Facebook and Instagram over time, right? At the moment, all it is research and development and proposals. But what it signals is that the investment money coming into the company is going to be more evenly distributed across Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, and these immersive 3D virtual investments. But what's also interesting is how could they interplay, okay? So let's say, and they even, Mark Zuckerberg even signaled a little bit about this in the introductory video about what life in the metaverse could look like, okay? So you are playing a game with your friends in virtual reality, and somebody says something funny or something funny happens, you could take a screenshot of that moment and post it to your Instagram, okay? Inside of the virtual environment, the virtual reality environment. So they're going to allow for these synergies to happen, especially within their own ecosystem. They want you to participate fully for very long periods of time in their ecosystem. And why? Let's kind of rewind a little bit. The business models for Instagram and Facebook specifically are ad-based. Okay. Right now, ad spend at the corporate level must include Facebook and Google because most people are using their phones in ways that they had not before and backing away from TVs on a more frequent basis towards more mobile devices. So the magazine of today is Google and Facebook. So the ad spend that used to go into magazines 30 years ago is now being spent on advertising within Google and Facebook ecosystems. So Meta, as a name, is the brand of this whole new Swiss Army knife, and you better believe that there's going to be cross-platform interactions that are going to be very easy to perform. What I'd like to see, what I'm very curious about, is whether or not they put up a walled garden around this ecosystem and whether or not our government sees that as anti-competitive, right? If you make it very easy in this 3D virtual world to post on Instagram and Facebook, but very difficult to post in Twitter and Snap, does that then signal to our federal government that there's some antitrust issues at play? I'd also like to see, just purely within each of these silos, within each of these social media businesses, there's discussion by both parties now. I'm not going political here, folks. Both parties believe that Facebook needs some regulation. And Facebook, even in some of its own documents, invite regulation. So I don't know what that means. I think they would like to have a very significant say on what the regulation looks like so that they don't get adversely penalized relative to their competitors. But you're going to see some changes, and whether those changes also include ecosystem interactions between the Facebook ecosystem and other technology ecosystems, that's something I'm very curious to follow.
And Mark, the question in many people's minds is this need for regulation. How will it affect Catholics and other Christians, people of faith, pro-life people, these changes at Facebook?
Yeah, I've seen this compared to Saturday morning cartoons, okay? I think our children should be protected first and foremost. It's also up to families to use prudence. So nothing is going to be better than our own families at watching over, stewarding our children's eyes and brains. But that being said, I think the very next step in regulation should look something like Saturday morning cartoons. There should be a third party child psychologist on staff inside of these businesses to see how algorithms function for the young, all the way up through and including 18, 20, 21-year-olds, because we have seen now the negative effects of social media based on the excitement-based algorithms that keep people on their platforms, okay? So my first suggestion is look to the family. And the second, very near to that suggestion, is look to what Saturday morning cartoons did 40, 50 years ago to encourage healthy interactions. Acknowledge that these platforms are likely to be around for a very long period of time. So let's use them in a healthy and an uplifting way. Hopefully those third-party child psychologists who come into these platforms will help change the nature of the algorithms, not to be so gripping and encourage the retention and holding on to these kids. But just like PBS, oftentimes if you watch PBS with your kids or grandkids, you'll see that there's frequent times throughout the day where the shows tell the kids, get up, run around, get outside, breathe some fresh air. That's healthy, right? That would be healthy, and that's what I hope and pray for, that these regulations might look like coming soon.
Mark, we've got about 2 minutes left. Just your thoughts on the announcement of Nike launching a virtual license as they prepare for the metaverse.
I think this is a very important acknowledgement that if you have a powerful ecosystem such as Meta, Facebook, people are going to be looking there where your eyeballs are, so there also are your brands, right? Nike is one of the most powerful brands on planet Earth, okay? So not only does Nike advertise in the Facebook ecosystem, but if you are physically, if your eyeballs are going to be in an environment for more than an hour, let's just acknowledge what the whole platform is designed to do, then you want your brand to be highlighted and showcased in the best way possible. So you would want the digital version of your products to look as spectacular as the physical version of your products. Even more so, you might go into these virtual worlds. Roblox is a publicly traded company. It's a virtual environment. You create an avatar, you buy clothes, and you put them on your avatar. Of course, the brands would want to control how those clothes look. So I think this is just the first of many brands who want to control the way their products look in the metaverse.
Very interesting. Nike has filed applications for Nike and the famous slogan, just do it, as well as the swoosh logo. So we're going to have to leave it right there, Mark. I appreciate your perspective on Facebook and this metaverse very much. You're really enlightening us because a lot of folks are kind of fuzzy about what's going on. Appreciate your help.
God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Many blessings. God bless you, too. Mark Mastriani, our tech expert for all things faith and tech. You can follow Mark on Twitter at God Loves Tech. It's now time for another edition of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called A Match Made in Heaven. It's from Love What Matters. Diana Crayer couldn't wait to marry the love of her life, but organ failure threatened to take away her happily ever after. With hundreds of thousands of people on the transplant waiting list, her future was uncertain. Around the same time, Heather Donnelly passed away after a car accident. Miraculously, she was the perfect match for the small and large intestines that Diana so desperately needed. The transplant was a complete success, and Diana couldn't have been more grateful. Every day, she said, I live my life to try and honor this amazing person who saved my life. To show her appreciation, she reached out to Heather's dad, Daniel Donnelly, so she could personally thank him for what his daughter did for her. Through their phone call, Diana learned just how similar that she and Heather were. Heather was only a year older than Diana, and like Diana, she was engaged and soon to be married. Heartbroken that Daniel would never have the chance to walk his own daughter down the aisle, Diana offered him a very special role in her big day. I asked Dan if he'd want to walk me down the aisle at my wedding, Diana said. He said yes, and that he'd be honored. Every wedding day is full of emotions, but it's safe to say Diana's was exceptionally so. To honor Heather, photos of her were featured on a table to represent the fact she was there in spirit. is Diana and Daniel made their way down the aisle, arms intertwined. She couldn't stop smiling. When it came time for Daniel to hand her over to her own dad, they embraced, and Diana began to tear up. At this point, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. The rest of the ceremony went just as beautifully, and the reception was a time of joyous celebration. "I had a great time at the wedding," said Daniel. "It was a blast. I was watching Diana at the dance floor, dancing it up, and picturing my daughter out there doing the same thing." Without Heather's selflessness, Diana may never have made it to her wedding day. But if Heather had been able to see Diana's big day, there's no doubt she would have been so grateful with how everything turned out. "You guys are as loving as my daughter was. She'd be very proud of you two, and I wish you the best of luck," said Daniel. "I know she's looking down right now and very happy. Diana's a sweet girl. She's got a heart of gold. Calls me dad. She says, I got two dads now. I was very honored." Isaiah 61:1-3, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, release to the prisoners, to announce a year of favor from the Lord and a day of vindication by our God, to comfort all who mourn, to place on those who mourn in Zion a diadem instead of ashes, to give them oil of gladness instead of mourning, a glorious mantle of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of justice, the planting of the Lord to show his glory."
Thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, International Catholic Evangelist Martha Fernandez-Sardina will continue our weekly Remember You Are Loved series to talk about knowing God as a loving Father. And Washington Nationals baseball chaplain and exorcist Monsignor Stephen Rosati will talk to us about the reality of spiritual warfare. Stay with us. There's much more to come here next hour on Morning Air.